Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Marine vet Modesto De La O. He developed an interesting and effective way of dealing with PTSD. Of course, Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Surface Academy football games, and General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Naturally, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. Okay, it's a pleasure to introduce Marine vet Modesto De La O. Modesto, you developed Foxhole as a way of dealing with PTSD.
Correct, sir. We did create Foxhole. It's a healthy outlet for those things that we care when you get out. It's a good alternative as opposed to those unhealthy outlets that we tend to use, and all too often, to be honest, leads to self-destructive behavior. So we found that martial arts, including jiu-jitsu, sambo, judo, MMA, Muay Thai, that kind of thing provides a certain therapeutic value that lends itself to getting over some things.
You know, and it works. So clearly, Foxhole is tied to self-defense type issues. And by the way, Modesto is the recipient of a national award from the Veterans of Foreign Wars. So, Mo, glad you're with us. Start by telling us about your time in the Marines. When and why did you join? What'd you do?
Gladly. The first reason I joined, you know, I was come from a humble family, humble upbringing. We were raised to do more. College was on the radar, but I didn't feel just yet that it was the right thing to do. And then at that time, you know, the GI Bill was out there. And then I don't know if you recall this, but the Marine Corps had the best commercial that I can recall of, where that brave young man slayed that dragon. Well, that was hook, line, and sinker for me. I was sold on it, and I was on my way to Paris Island right after that.
You know, advertising is a big deal, and and doing it well is a big deal. So that makes you a normal person.
I'm happy to hear that.
What was your specialty in the Marines?
I was a 2800. I was in a radio attached to the 1st Radio Battalion.
Okay. And I know, since you're very active in the Veterans of Foreign Wars, you must have served overseas in combat. Yep. Talk about that.
Yeah. So the neat thing about my MOS was that I got attached to the radio battalion, and we get attached as a detachment to Marine Expeditionary Units. And at that time, I was ordered to go to the 13th MEU. And if you recall, around this time, it was around 2000, where we're their amphibious ready group. We're out there doing our thing. And then in October of that year, that's where the USS Cole got bombed. That's where 17 U.S. sailors lost their lives. And the 13th MEU was the response team that went to that. So we found ourselves in Yemen. And that's where I started learning a whole lot of things.
Okay. In your combat, I take it that some things happened to you that gave you what we call PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Is that correct?
I have to say, yes, that was the case, because that's where I first saw the result of that terrorist attack. That's where I saw going ashore and responding to the missions that we had. So I got to see a lot of things. And, you know, it'd be silly for me to try to negate and, you know, downplay what I was part of and what I got to see. So, you know, I'm no medical expert, but I have to assume that's where it started.
Because you have created a system, a program, Foxhole, that helps people with PTSD. I'm guessing that your experience in combat gave you some version of post-traumatic stress disorder, and that you created Foxhole. I don't know if you thought you were doing it at the time, but you put together a program to help yourself deal with it. Am I reading you right?
That is partially accurate. That definitely had something to do with it. But the other things that lent itself to Foxhole was the fact that as the VFW commander, and when I really got into it, when I really started helping and, you know, got to my gills and volunteering and trying to help my brothers and sisters, that's where I started seeing a lot of things that just made me wonder, we have to do something about this. So that's where I started seeing, you know, people just having trouble with all kinds of challenges. Some things was just like maybe legal stuff. Some was VA. Some was, you know, filing your claim, things like that. A lot of it was relationship stuff. And then I started seeing when four of our members, friends from the VFW committed suicide, I started, you know, realizing more things. You know, like, what this thing, when it grabs a hold of you, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care. You know what I mean? And then that's where I started seeing, okay, well, One thing led to them ultimately feeling completely overwhelmed and overcome by this. So I had to find something for myself. And then when I saw what was happening and the great positive reaction I was having to it, I started saying, wait a minute, we can't just sit around here and do nothing. You know you're capable of helping. We can't just sit down. Let's do something about it. And that's where I got my friends. And like, hey, let's start this thing that's been helping us. And that's how Foxo eventually came about. So it did start, you know, from your experience in the military. And then it came from observing and trying to make a difference, then taking notice of all the things that were occurring. And then one thing led to another. And, you know, it just became at that point, it was almost as if it's being presented in a way that it's undeniable. You have to step up and you have to do something.
Amen. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Modesto De La O about Foxhole. Mo, we've got a couple of minutes. Take a minute and talk about what is Foxhole? How does it work? And folks, if this is not a national program, this is a local one. If in your community want to try to put this together, Mo's available to talk about that. So Mo, talk about Foxhole. What is it? If I was suffering and I plugged in, how would I plug in? What would I do?
The first place I would say to is to check out our website, foxholeusa.org. It has all the information on there. If me and you had a discussion, you know, if I met somebody, I'd say Foxhole, it's a way of us introducing martial arts as a healthy outlet for us to overcome challenges. Specifically, our main goal is to try and stop veteran suicide. It's also the suicide ideation. And something that I've recently found and very passionate about is to let that best parts of that veteran come out. Let those things come out. And it happens with this kind of environment. We're accountable to each other. I'll say it to you like this. A lot of good things happen. There's a certain way that we act as veterans when you get us in a room together. So there's a lot of positivity that occurs there. Like I said, includes the camaraderie side, but it also the accountability. If Foxhole, once a vet is submits their application to Foxhole and wants to be part of the team, you're now saying that I am committed as well. I will train twice a week. I understand you guys are going to give me this scholarship, if you will, and you're going to cover my training. You know, it has to be twice a week. If some, you know, things occur, let us know. But along the way, that's where you get things like, hey, by any chance, anybody here, any of you vets run into trouble with, you know, with this issue, with that issue. And that's where we start getting to the source of a lot of the problems. And we start providing answers, resources. But I got to make it clear that the vet has to want it. We cannot do it for you. You know what I mean by that? If you want it, we want it. But nobody can do it for you. You have to take those steps and want to find this healthy outlet and try it this way.
Amen.
So martial arts is the way that we chose, and it works very well.
Okay. The routine is you commit to, what, twice a week of being together?
At least, yep.
And you help each other, and you're honest about what your issues are. Is that close?
That's dead on. That's exactly right. Then, you know, because what happens is now you get to see one person from all these different branches, multiple vets from different branches with a similar background or identical one. So now you get to see, oh, okay, well, if he went through this, he probably has an answer for this. You no longer feel like you're fighting this thing on your own. So somebody here already went through that and can provide you some feedback if you're willing to listen.
Amen, brother. Mo, one more time. What's your website?
It's foxholeusa.org. All my contact information is on there. You can email through there. You can reach us at info@foxholeusa.org. Available 24/7.
So and you're not, just, and you're a nonprofit. I bet you would not object to donations if you received any.
You know, I will take all the help that anybody has. We listen to, you know, ideas, resources, and funding. So yes, there's a donate button on there. They can do it through there.
Mo, thank you. Thank you for sharing today. Thank you for your service to our nation. And thank you for what you're doing now, serving veterans and our community. God bless you, brother. We need to stay friends.
Hey, listen, you just motivated me even more to keep going. So I appreciate you. I get a chance to the other Marine over there, but tell Skip I said Semper Fi.
I'll do that. Next up, we'll talk football with Quentin Roberts. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do 40. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
For over 10 years, Concerned Veterans for America has been fighting for better health care options for veterans.
Thanks to our thousands of activists around the country, we've been able to expand options for veterans who use the VA for their care.
But there is more to be done, and you can help. We need voices just like yours to call on Congress to continue reforming the VA and empowering veterans with more choice over their care.
Learn more and join the movement by visiting cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. And it's Service Academy football time. And of course, I'm joined by our football co-host, Air Force veteran Quinton Roberts. Welcome, bro. Glad to have you again.
Denny, oh my goodness. Are we up for some exciting Service Academy football at this time of the year? Oh. It is a lot of fun to watch.
Amen. And since you played at Air Force and one of your teammates was the current coach, let's start with Air Force this week. They sure did well against Wyoming, didn't they?
Denny, they certainly did. I mean, they made me proud, I must say. As Air Force moved to 6-0 on the season, defeating Wyoming, who fell to 5-2. You know, it's a border game, and so it's certainly a rival. And it caused the cadet wing to storm the field following the thrilling 37-24 Air Force victory over the Wyoming Cowboys. It was a chilly, picturesque setting as dusk gave way to nightfall in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains for a Mountain West Conference duel between longtime rivals Air Force and Wyoming. The game was tied 27-27 in the fourth quarter when backup quarterback Jensen Jones made the option pitch to John Lee Eldridge III, who dashed 58 yards for the game-winning touchdown. Air Force rallied from a halftime deficit of 21-17. Wyoming gained 267 yards and was 9 of 10 on third down in the first half. But it was the Falcons who early in the second half took the opening kickoff and drove 75 yards in 17 plays, taking 10 minutes and 13 seconds off the clock and taking the wind out of the Cowboys' sail. It was quarterback Zach Larrier's one-yard touchdown run that gave Air Force a 24-21 lead. Falcons added another field goal early in the fourth quarter. But when backup quarterback Jensen Jones was thrust into the contest due to an injury to Zach Larrier, Jones' start to the night was forgetful as he fumbled on the first two possessions he was in the game, giving life to the Cowboys. But the Falcon defense stood tall, led by seniors Trey Taylor and Alec Mock, who shared the team lead with 10 tackles apiece. Seniors P.J. Ramsey, Jr., Peyton Zadroik, and senior Bo Richter each tallied a sack in addition to combining for 12 tackles. The Falcon D harassed Wyoming quarterback Andrew Peasley all night long, but Peasley showed his mettle by still completing 15 of 25 passes for 212 yards and 3 touchdowns. For their undefeated record, Air Force is ranked 22nd in both the coaches' poll and the AP poll. Falcons are ranked for the first time since the final season poll in 2019 when the team was 22nd in both polls. So hats off to Coach Calhoun and the Falcons on a well-earned and well-deserved victory.
It was indeed. And Navy had a well-deserved victory over Charlotte.
I tell you what, Denny, Navy certainly did. They have a two-game winning streak now as they defeated UNC Charlotte 14-0. And of course, when you shut someone out, you've got to talk about the defense as the Navy defense pitched its second shutout of the year. While freshman quarterback Braxton Woodson came off the bench for an injured senior Ty Labatai and led Navy to 14 second half points, the Mids moved to 3-3 on the season, 2-2 in the conference in front of a sellout crowd. Well, a little short of a sellout crowd at Jerry Richardson Stadium in Charlotte. The game was scoreless at the half, but Woodson, who replaced Labatai, hit sophomore slot back Eli Heidenreich with a 69-yard touchdown pass on Navy's first drive of the third quarter to give the Mids a 7-0 lead. Navy put the game away on the first drive of the fourth quarter. Sophomore fullback Alex Teza burst through a hole on the left side and went 62 yards for a touchdown. And again, the defense led by Will Harbor, who had a career-tying 11 tackles, and Deshaun Peel had another career-high 8 stops, just really shut the door for UNC Charlotte in a convincing win. It was a great win for Coach Brian Newberry.
And apparently, Navy and Air Force used up all the good plays because Army didn't do well. They got beat at homecoming.
Homecoming. Oh, it was a tough homecoming on the Hudson as Army dropped to 2-4 as they lost to Troy 19-0. Troy moved to 5-2 on the season, but the Army West Point football team for the second week in a row played in a tough, cold, wet, and rainy environment. They were at Mikey Stadium, but only could muster 255 yards of total offense, while Troy's offense rolled to 449 total yards. The Black Knights had trouble containing Troy's wide receiver, Jabray Barber, who had a career-high 138 yards on only 4 receptions, and the nation's leading rusher, running back Kamani Vidal, who rushed 23 times for 118 yards. Offensively, Army is continuing to run through the quarterbacks to find who is going to be that man. It was freshman quarterback Champ Harris who played the entire second half after starter Bryson Daly left with an injury in the second quarter. And as a freshman in his first time, he just couldn't get them in the end zone. So it was Army who fell in a tough game to Troy 19-0.
Yep, there was no joy in Mudville at West Point.
Not on Saturday. It certainly wasn't.
And Coast Guard had a bye. Merchant Marine did well.
You know, Danny, I tell you what, that Merchant Marine Academy is playing some good football. They're moved to 5-1 on the season, 3-1 in the conference as they defeated MIT 28-14. So they are on a roll, and, you know, let's hope they continue their winning way.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking Service Academy football with Quentin Roberts. Okay, this weekend, Army plays at LSU. What is that one going to look like?
We're going to talk about going from the frying pan into the fire here. As Army is a 30-point underdog at LSU. LSU won a national championship in 2019. They're one of the traditional powers of college football. Army's going to travel down to Baton Rouge. Whether they go with freshman quarterback Camp Harris or Bryson Daly is able to play, you know, they're just going to be in for a tough road to hoe. When those Bayou Bengals get down there, boy, they play some football. They're big and they're fast, and they play a rock'em sock'em sort of football down there in Baton Rouge. So, but you never can count Army out. But let's remember that. That's why they play the game, because you never can count them out. So we expect them to go down there. We know Jeff Monken is going to have this team prepared. They're going to put on a good show.
Yep. We've got 1 minute left, and there is going to be another Service Academy game next week. I think it's called Navy versus Air Force.
Yes, it's going to be the first leg of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy game, where Air Force travels to Navy, and they take their 6-0 record and their number 22 ranking to Annapolis, Maryland. The game has taken on even more intrigue due to quarterback uncertainty for both teams. For Coach Brian Newberry, he called on freshman QB Braxton Woodson, and we'll see if he is able to lead Navy to a victory over the stingy Falcon defense, who is third in total defense in the country and offensively scoring 37 points per game. Navy, meantime, has a +9 in turnover margin. And if they can secure big plays and get timely turnovers, Navy can pull off the upset. Air Force is favored by 10, but it's going to be a good one.
It is indeed. And Coast Guard is playing Norwich, and Merchant Marine Academy is at WPI. Quentin, this was quite a week, and next week's going to be more than quite a week, particularly as Navy plays Air Force.
That's right, Denny. This is a big one. It's a big one. And let me also say, Navy is honoring Roger Staubach by placing his number 12 on the 12-yard line and honoring former head coach Paul Johnson for his election and an induction into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Well said. Thank you, Quentin. We'll be back next week as we talk about some more Service Academy football.
Sounds good, Danny. See you soon.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll review the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm and take a break or stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Front Lines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And it's time for the Battle of the Month. So, of course, I'm being joined by General Chris Petty. Welcome back, brother.
Great to be with you, Danny.
And it's the Battle of Yorktown. That's a really interesting battle. I've often heard it referred to as the German Battle. Take a minute and give us a little bit about your background in the Army, and then take us to the Battle of Yorktown.
So thanks, Denny. I graduated from the same illustrious institution you did, West Point, and a little bit after you, though, however. And branched aviation, did a lot of good aviation leadership stuff. And really, I think my highlight of my career was a battalion command of an aviation battalion during the surge in Iraq. And that led to some other neat opportunities, which all of a sudden I became a full colonel and commanded a brigade. And then I found myself doing general officer stuff in Bosnia and Pentagon and then one of the combatant commands at NORTHCOM. So fascinating, interesting career. I did active duty. I did National Guard. I did full-time National Guard. I ended up back on active duty again. So it's quite an interesting story, but that's my quick summary.
Okie doke. What got you interested in military history?
It's weird you ask, because I never was a history buff. I didn't take history in school except the required courses. But as I grew in the military, I just realized how important this stuff is, because the lessons are really timeless, especially when you talk about warfare. So I wanted to create something that would capture it and make it easier to understand, because the Army didn't have anything like it. So that's why I created Battle Digest, which we'll talk about at the end, maybe. But that, it's really become my passion.
Well, it sure has, and I'm glad, because you motivate me to learn more about something that I did study a little bit more. Okay, we only got too much time. Let's go to the Battle of Yorktown.
Okay, so Yorktown is definitely a battle that every American should know. It was the culmination of the American Revolution. It was the last big battle. And it finally convinced the British Parliament that the war was lost. So this was the ninth inning, you know, walk-off home run by the Americans, and this ended the war. So that's the big news. But the secondary news is it's a fascinating story of this campaign, Washington's campaign of joint allied operations with the French Navy and French infantry, and, you know, working with the Navy and the Army, putting everything together, with deception and this fascinating cat and mouse game at sea, and just a great checkmate move by Washington in the Yorktown Peninsula. It was just, it's a fascinating story.
It really is. And what I've always been impressed by is that it's called the German Battle sometimes, because there were Germans in all three armies, the French, the British, and the American Army.
There were Hessians, you know, were Germans, and they played a part in each side, which is kind of an interesting subplot. And there's lots of them in this story.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so let me give you the quick summary. So as most of your listeners know, by 1780, the North was a stalemate and the British were looking south. They had a southern strategy, as it was called. Clinton invaded Charlestown in the spring of 1780 and created this base of operations. Cornwallis worked on subduing the Carolinas, and there's a lot of great story here about the loyalist militias and all that kind of stuff. But in the end, he got frustrated and he decided to go ahead and march into Virginia, which Clinton, his commander up in New York, wasn't really thrilled about. But the French had already landed a big army in Rhode Island, commanded by Rochambeau, which people have probably heard that name. So Washington and Rochambeau agreed to a joint attack plan for the summer of 1781. Driven by French naval support coming up from the Caribbean, commanded by Admiral de Grasse. So while Washington does this great fake out of Clinton at New York, because Clinton thinks Washington and the French are going to attack New York. So Washington does this great fake, this feint, and really holds Clinton in place. And it's too late for Clinton to react as Washington's army moves around him heading south. De Grasse is the admiral for the French, sails into the Chesapeake Bay, sealing it off from the British Navy. So this is, you know, move one or two, you could say, is successful. So then Washington and Rochambeau move south. Clinton sends Admiral Graves, another admiral from Rhode Island, to bring the siege guns, because that's really important. So we got these two French Navy admirals playing cat and mouse with the British at sea. De Grasse sails his ships into the Chesapeake, so he owns it, but the British arrive, and De Grasse smartly sails out and gives battle at what's called the Battle of the Capes. That allows De Barras to slip in behind the British and deliver the siege guns. So Washington's army now is in position. The British are trapped. The British Navy is now the big Heisman move out in the Atlantic, so they can't even come and help. And now it's only a matter of time. I mean, it's a beautiful checkmate move. So the siege begins in earnest on 28 September. And Clinton tries a bunch of stuff. Cornwallis is the guy being sieged. He tries some stuff, but nothing really works. And the Americans and French basically pound Yorktown with cannons and do the whole, you know, trench number one, trench number two as they get closer. There's a lot of good stories here, like Alexander Hamilton assaults Redoubt 10, kind of a famous little story that gives him some political credibility throughout his career. And finally, on the 19th of October, the British surrender. Now, Clinton has tried to mount a rescue operation, but because his Navy got their butts kicked in the Battle of the Capes, all his ships are getting repaired up by New York. So, I mean, it just works out perfectly. So the day that Cornwallis surrenders, Clinton's 7,000 soldiers are sailing from New York. Obviously, it's too late. So the news just was shockwaves across the Atlantic in England, and it was just the war was over. The British surrendered over 7,000 troops, and it was just the final move, really, in the American Revolution. It was just a brilliant campaign. The French played along. There was a great little deception story in the Allies, because the French, Rochambeau, didn't want to attack New York because that was Washington's first plan. And he sort of tricked Washington a little bit using the admiral coming up from the Caribbean to say he could only come so far, which would make Yorktown the site. So he kind of manipulated Washington, but it worked out fantastic.
Hey, you do what you do. This wasn't the last fight in the Revolutionary War, but it was the last major battle, right?
It was definitely the last major battle. And it was a two-year awkwardness before the Treaty of Paris, but it was over. It was over after Yorktown.
Yes, sir, it was. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Chris Petty. Chris, before I let you go, talk to us about Battle Digest. You provide such good information that we Americans, all of us, need to know, not just military guys. Talk about Battle Digest.
It's not only a passion, it's really necessary. We're losing our history, and people don't really like the 300-page books anymore. Whether that's good or bad, it's irrelevant. It simply is. And so I've tried to make a very simple, concise, distilled pamphlet, essentially a trifold brochure on each of these battles. It's a 30-minute read. It's got all the pictures and the maps, so you know what's going on. It's called Battle Digest. And your listeners can just go to battledigest.com and check it out. There's a wonderful library of key battles throughout history. And frankly, you know, even your kids or grandkids would like this stuff. It's just so, so concise and so well written that it really makes sense. It lays everything out.
And more importantly, it helps everybody understand our history, which is important. If we're going to be proud Americans, we need to know that for a lot of reasons. Also, so that we don't repeat some of our stupid mistakes in the past.
Yeah, part of our culture, as you know, Denny, is defined by American stories and American history, and we're losing that. So this is my little attempt to shore some of that up and make these stories really understandable and fairly simple. So battledigest.com, that's all they need to know.
I strongly recommend it. Chris, thank you. Thank you for your great review of this cool history. And thank you for being a great member of the Frontlines of Freedom team. I'm glad we're friends and working together.
Me too, Denny. I always enjoy it. Thank you.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. About 64 this time. I want your Ranger ready. Then you can stand at ease.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com, we are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com, use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it is mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Janice from California loved the interview with John Lovell from the Warrior Poet Society and wants to know if she can get the book someplace other than Amazon.
Well, Skip, John was a guest on the show that you hosted, and you know where she can get the book. Why don't you share that?
But yeah, Colonel, there are two places, either warriorpoetsociety.com or christianbook.com. Both of those places have his book.
Good.
Peter is a Marine vet who served with the Israelis for a while. That's the only free country in the entire Middle East, and they got attacked again. I hope we're fully supporting them.
I agree, Peter. I've been to Israel and have many friends there, and they're the most reliable ally we have in the world. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 25 October 1854, in an event alternately described as one of the most heroic or disastrous episodes in British military history, Lord James Cardigan led a charge of the Light Brigade cavalry against well-defended Russian artillery during the Crimean War. The British were winning the Battle of Balaclava when Cardigan received his order to attack the Russians. His cavalry gallantly charged down the valley and were decimated by the heavy Russian guns, suffering 40% casualties. It was later revealed that the order was the result of confusion and was not given intentionally. Lord Cardigan, who survived the battle, was hailed as a national hero in Britain.
And Rudyard Kipling's poem, The Charge of the Light Brigade, memorialized that. It's a great charge. They were brave men. And on the 25th of October, 1862, during our Civil War, a sarcastic President Lincoln wired General George McClellan, "I have just read your dispatch about your sore-tongued and fatigued horses. Will you pardon me for asking what the horses of your army have done since the Battle of Antietam that fatigue anything?" End quote. Lincoln was nearly out of patience with McClellan. The president had ordered him to pursue Confederate General Robert E. Lee into Virginia after Antietam on September 17th, but McClellan delayed for a month. A little over a week after sending this message, Lincoln replaced McClellan with Ambrose Burnside.
On 23 October 1921, in the French town of Chalons-sur-Marne, an American officer selected the body of the first unknown soldier to be honored among the approximately 77,000 U.S. servicemen killed on the Western Front during World War I.
The unknown soldier. And on 25 October 1944, during the World War II Battle of Leyte Gulf, the Japanese deployed kamikaze, divine wind, suicide bombers against American warships for the first time. It proved very costly to both sides.
And on 24 October 1945, less than 2 months after the end of World War II, the United Nations was formally established with the ratification of the UN Charter by the 5 permanent members of the Security Council and a majority of other signatories.
I wish the UN had turned out to be something functional and useful. On the 24th of October, 1951, President Harry Truman finally proclaimed that the nation's war with Germany, begun in 1941, was finally over. Fighting had ended in the spring of 1945. That ended the fighting, but until the peace treaty was signed, the war was officially still on.
And on 24 October 1954, President Eisenhower pledged support to Diem's government and military forces. Eisenhower wrote to South Vietnamese President Ngo Dinh Diem and promised direct assistance to his government. Eisenhower made it clear to Diem that U.S. aid to his government during Vietnam's hour of trial was contingent upon his assurances of the standards of performance he would be able to maintain in the event such aid were supplied. Eisenhower called for land reform and a reduction of government corruption. Diem agreed to the needed reforms stipulated as a precondition for receiving aid, but he never actually followed through on his promises. Ultimately, his refusal to make any substantial changes to meet the needs of the people led to extreme civil unrest and eventually a coup by dissident South Vietnamese generals in which Diem and his brother were murdered.
That'll teach him.
Should have made the reforms.
And on 27 October 1962, complicated and tension-filled negotiations between the U.S. and Soviet Union finally resulted in a plan to end the two-week-old Cuban Missile Crisis, a frightening period in which nuclear holocaust seemed imminent and began to come to an end as the Soviets withdrew their missiles from Cuba. I was a cadet at West Point during that time, and we thought we were all going to be commissioned early and sent to war.
I was in kindergarten. I wasn't worried about it quite yet.
Okay.
And on 25 October 1971, in a dramatic reversal of its longstanding commitment to the nationalist Chinese government of Taiwan and a policy of non-recognition of the Communist People's Republic of China, America's UN representatives voted to seat the PRC as a permanent member. Over American objections, Taiwan was expelled.
On 23 October 1983, a suicide bomber drove a truck filled with 2,000 pounds of explosives into a U.S. Marine Corps barracks at the Beirut International Airport. The explosion killed 220 Marines, 18 sailors, and 3 soldiers. A few minutes later, after that bomb went off, a second bomber drove into the basement of a nearby French paratrooper's barracks, killing 58 more people. Intelligence determined that the instructions for the attack came from Iran. 4 months after the bombing, American forces left Lebanon without retaliating.
And on 25 October 1983, the U.S. invaded Grenada. President Ronald Reagan, citing the threat posed to American nationals on the Caribbean nation of Grenada by that nation's Marxist regime, ordered the Marines to invade and secure their safety. There were nearly 1,000 Americans in Grenada at that time, many of them students on the island's medical school. In a little more than a week, Grenada's government was overthrown.
And on the 26th of October 2001, President George W. Bush signed the Patriot Act, an anti-terrorism law drawn up in response to the attacks on the Pentagon and World Trade Center on September 11, 2001. The USA Patriot Act, as it's officially known, is an acronym for Uniting and Strengthening America by Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism. Bush hoped the bipartisan legislation would empower law enforcement and intelligence agencies to prevent future attacks on American soil. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
Well, Colonel, all of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, at a gas station in Lapeer, Michigan, Jeffrey Smith traded sharp words with a truck driver before driving away. A few minutes later, he returned to the gas station and engaged the truck driver in conversation again. The truck driver approached his car carrying a tire iron in his hand. When he reached the vehicle, Smith shot the truck driver with his legally owned .38 Special revolver. The man died and Smith called the police. He was allowed to go home, but was later arrested, charged, and convicted of murder.
Thanks, Colonel. Some of you might be wondering right now why Smith was convicted of murder. He was threatened with a deadly weapon, and all legal criteria for use of deadly force appear to be present. But here's the thing. Prosecutor did a thorough investigation and found out that Smith had stated on social media that if anyone ever approached his car, he would shoot them. That prompted them to investigate even further. What lessons can we learn from this case? Well, first, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Don't make threatening statements, even if they're general in nature. They may come back to bite you later on when you least expect it. Things that we say in face-to-face conversation may be forgotten, but words we say on social media are forever. They never go away. Even if you don't mean what you say, they're still there and will work against you. Second, you should always try to de-escalate a conflict. This was a simple traffic congestion problem. All Smith had to do to go on with his life was to drive away and forget about it. But he came back. Why? Probably because of his ego. Folks, don't let your ego override your brain. The truck driver insulted him, and he couldn't just turn the other cheek and walk away. The jury believed he came back with intent to murder. Ego and guns don't mix. Every morning, I go to my gun safe, I holster my gun, but then I take my ego and I lock it up inside the safe, and I keep it there all day long. If Smith had done the same thing, he'd still be a free man. In today's society, where everyone is on edge and rage is on a low boil, now more than ever, we need to walk away from verbal insults. Put your ego on hold. Walk away. It's in everyone's best interest. Frontlines of Freedom reminds all of you that carrying a gun for personal defense is a serious matter, and the gun is a tool of last resort. Only use it to save your own life or that of another innocent person after all other options are exhausted. Failure to do so could result in prison time and unnecessary injury or even death.
Well said, brother. Our movie of the month is The Conscripts and Conscientious Objectors of World War II. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free, and we're going to review it at the end of the month. I'd really appreciate getting your comments. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman will join us to discuss some of the crazy things going on. Then Donna Blaisley will discuss how her fiancé, who is a prisoner at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, is being badly abused. Quentin Roberts will review this week's Service Academy football games, which include the Navy versus Air Force game. And Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival will review the movie of the month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call-to-action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.